No women in the Mendenhall River after all. Capital City Fire and Rescue Chief Rich Etheridge says a search by a Coast Guard helicopter, rescue boat, and people walking along the banks of the river turned up nothing. The search got underway just before midnight Monday night and wrapped up about 3 o'clock yesterday morning. The helicopter flew in from Sitka Air Station and used a spotlight and an infrared camera to help search. Etheridge says witnesses called 911 after they heard what sounded like a person in the water, but he says their investigation showed there was no credible indications that a person was actually missing. State troopers have arrested a port protection man and say that he'll face a murder charge over the death of another in the small community on northern Prince of Wales Island. Troopers were contacted about a death in a houseboat near port protection on Sunday and arrived there early Monday morning. Troopers say they found 39-year-old Ronald L. O'Neill driving a skiff and towing a second skiff with a body inside. The victim is tentatively identified as 54-year-old Tracy G. Simpson, another port protection resident. Troopers say O'Neill was intoxicated when he was arrested. He was transported to Craig, and he's expected to be arraigned there this week on charges of murder in the second degree, driving under the influence, and tampering with evidence. The Alaska Bureau of Investigation Major Crimes Unit in Anchorage responded to Port Protection to conduct an investigation. The victim's body is on its way to the state medical examiner's office for confirmation of his identity and an autopsy. State troopers are reporting a big break in a cold case of a child kidnapping and assault. Brooks E. Jackson of Wasilla has been linked to the crime 20 years after it occurred. The 8-year-old girl was abducted from a bus stop near Wasilla in February of 1991. She was taken to a home and raped and then released a few hours later. After an investigation and search, no suspect was ever identified. Jackson was arrested and convicted in 2005 for a marijuana grow operation in his home. He was required to submit a DNA sample as part of his conviction, but just before the sample could be analyzed, troopers say Brooks committed suicide. The sample that Brooks provided was one of nearly 10 million in the federal DNA database, but troopers say it was a perfect match to a sample collected after the Wasilla abduction. After the DNA connection was made last September, troopers began investigating Brooks, what he was doing in February of 1991, and what vehicles he was driving. Troopers say they were not able to locate the vehicle or home with a porch described by the girl during the abduction, but the DNA sample is an explicit tie to the case, and they consider it closed. There's no statute of limitations for such a crime in Alaska, but with the main suspect dead, troopers say there will be no prosecution or conviction. The girl is now 28 years old. The woman and her family were informed of the break in the case last week. She was not named in an announcement yesterday, and troopers, the Palmer DA's office, and the Alaska Scientific Crime Detection Laboratory are asking everyone to respect her privacy. At least $10,000 worth of heating oil has been stolen from Juneau homes so far this year. Since January, Juneau police say there have been nearly twice the number of thefts than were reported for all of 2010. The latest was for $200 in oil stolen from the tank at the back of a Lemon Creek home. It's prompted police to ask Juneau residents for help. Spokeswoman Cindy Brown Mills says police have no leads in any of the cases.
We have, in 2011 so far, 19 cases, but I wonder how many have not been reported or people just never discovered. Like you go into the back and you're like, oh, I guess the fuel truck guy forgot to put the cap back on, and they go and put it on, not realizing that maybe that's not what happened. There's not any one area of town that has been more affected than others, so we don't really have a whole lot to go on. This is definitely something that we need the public's help on if we're going to get people doing it.
Local fuel delivery companies say they've been getting their fair share of complaints about oil thieves, especially now that prices are more than $4 a gallon. Reliable Fuel says calls come in spurts and have averaged about 2 a month this year. The best deterrent? Well, lock the tank, put it behind an enclosure, or install a video camera. Police say be a nosy neighbor and pay attention to what's happening in your neighborhood. Taku Oil's Tim Hansen says locking caps will help, but a determined thief can still get your oil.
Those plug-type caps seem to work better. They'll go inside the hole on the tank there, you know, rather than being up on a spout where someone could take off the fill spout with a pipe wrench. They can always go into a vent as well, you know. Definitely the more obstacles you can put people's way, you know, the less likely people are going to go try to get some from you. Below ground tanks are pretty hard to get out.
Juneau Police say anyone with information on the oil should call the Juneau Police Department at 586-0600, or you can remain anonymous and leave a tip at JuneauCrimeLine.com. The wreckage of a single-engine aircraft that crashed July 24th on Douglas Island rests in a Juneau hangar. A National Transportation Safety Board crew is piecing the aircraft together for the investigation into the accident that killed Charles Luck and his wife, Leping Tang Luck. The NTSB preliminary report indicates the plane crashed very shortly after Luck communicated with the Juneau Tower. So soon, says investigator Clint Johnson, that in interviews, the air traffic specialist use the term moments.
Mr. Luck called in, indicated that he was about 10 miles to the southeast, landing Juneau. And right after that, we're not sure exactly how long it was, just moments after that, they received a very faint ELT signal.
That signal led searchers to an aircraft debris field at about the 3,100-foot level of Mount Ben Stewart. But the fuselage and bodies were not found until the following day, and it was 6 days before skies cleared enough to recover the bodies. Johnson has been conducting interviews and expects to review air traffic control tower tapes this week. He's also waiting for autopsy results.
What we're doing is gathering information on the pilot as far as, past history, experience level. Obviously, there was an autopsy done and a toxicology screen, which is very, very standard for anybody that's killed in an airplane accident.
Charles Luck was a physician assistant at the Search Health Clinic in Hoonah. According to Johnson, Luck had not followed a flight plan for his early morning trip to Juneau. Johnson says the Cessna was being operated on visual flight rules, and while weather conditions at the accident are not known, the Juneau Airport Tower reported marginal conditions that morning. Johnson says local pilots tell him that when the cloud ceiling is low in Juneau, it's often lower over the area where the plane crashed. The price of crude oil for September is $80.72 a barrel this morning. Gold up another $29 this morning in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,773.10 an ounce. Silver up 82 cents this morning, currently at $38.53 an ounce. Lead is also up at $1.03 a pound. Tribal groups and Native corporations getting some insights into government contracting during an event now underway here in Juneau. The Alaska Native Economic Development and Procurement Trade Fair is offering information on a variety of business programs, including 8A contracting. It runs through tomorrow at the Tlingit and Haida Central Council headquarters on West Willoughby Avenue here in Juneau. Dossie Brewington is Northwest Program Manager for the Native American Procurement Technical Assistance Center.
The purpose of the conference is to give some more information on how to go about government contracting, meet some of the government agencies, learn some of the challenges to government contracting, how to increase capacity, leverage resources, and learn more and more about government contracting.
State and federal agencies will talk about their programs. Brewington says representatives will discuss multiple opportunities, including energy technology and seafood marketing.
Suppose a tribe has a small processing plant that does not have enough product coming in. I know of couples that are sitting idle and have been. Well, the folks from the BIA are interested in working either with rural development or others to see if they can create a fish co-op so that multiple villages might have enough product to put one of these factories back into operation.
A number of Alaska Native corporations already use the Small Business Administration's 8A program, which has undergone scrutiny in recent years. Brewington says training will cover that program's updated contract limitations and transparency provisions. He says between 50 and 75 people are expected to attend the conference from around the state.